Welcome to the audio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to thank you for taking some of the time God has granted to you to hear a sermon from the FBC pulpit. It is our conviction that an expositional treatment of the biblical text is the most God-honoring way to explain and apply the Word, so that is what we strive to do with all the sermons in our pulpit. We trust that you will be built up in the faith by listening to God's Word. If you would like to find out more information about the church or our ministry, please connect with us through our website at www.fbcaa.org.
We're going to this morning look at a psalm which is very familiar and very short. And what I'm going to do is share with you some of the thoughts that I had, and I was spending some time on this recently. And I actually wrote out several pages here, and I'm going to try to just give the highlights of where my thinking was going with regard to this. So you may want to turn your Bible to Psalm 23. Now this is a very special psalm. A psalm of David. And one of the things that I have noticed over the years is that this psalm gets widespread use and in contexts where sometimes I wonder about the shepherd-sheep connection of the people who are using the psalm. It is a psalm of comfort, and I'm going to read through it and just tell you what I had in my mind here about this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I was looking at this psalm and considering it, I came to the conclusion that the key to the psalm is contained in the first three words. That the first three words is the key to the psalm. Here's the way I came to that and began to think about it. The first three words in this psalm say, "The Lord is." Now that's a good starting point. The Lord is. And then if we look at the second of those two words, the word Lord, that's a word that has very great significance. And in fact, Brother Terry used the word tetragrammaton when he was speaking, and this is another place where that is what is happening here in terms of the word that we have translated as Lord. You will notice if you have a translation similar to the one I have, that the word is rendered in all capital letters. And that's how we look at it and say, okay, well, that's the tetragrammaton word. Transliterated in those four letters are YHWH, and their vowels were not included in it. So you will notice in some Bibles a translation where vowels have been added, and it might say Yahweh or in some it might say Jehovah. However that is rendered, the word is a special word. It is speaking of the self-existent God, the one who had no beginning and will have no end, the eternal God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One of the things I thought about is that when we look at some of Israel's history, and when God chose Moses and sent him, gave him the commission to go into Egypt and to lead his people out of captivity, Moses said, "So what if I go and the people ask me about the one who sent me? And what if they say, what is his name?" And the Lord said, "Tell them that I am, that I am, sent you." Well, this I am, I understand that Jewish scholars consider that to be the word rendered I am as Lord. The Hebrew, I guess, is Yahweh, E-H-Y-E-H is what I have in my notes here. But that is a derivative of the tetragrammaton. So that the God who was sending Moses to do his bidding and leading the people out of Egypt is the same God who is referred to here, or that the shepherd, the psalmist here is referring to. So he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm going to make a comment here with regard to the word "the." So we go now to the first of those three words. "The" is a definite article. And I'm just going to say that there is only one true God. There are not many gods from whom to choose, contrary to what many people teach. Of course, there are, if you use a little g, lowercase, then there are many gods. But there's only one true God. And that's the one that this psalmist is referring to. That one true God. He says, "The Lord is." So that now, considering then who this God is, when we look about in the world and we see the creation that God created. And we were just recently in Colossians and in the first chapter talking about the Lord Jesus, you know, being not only the creator, but also the sustainer. So that what exists and what is not there simply because if you want to go to a creator and say a creator created and then just left it alone to see what will happen, that's not correct. But he's also the sustainer. So this is the Lord the shepherd is talking about. Now notice the next word where the shepherd uses the word "my." Now we have a personal pronoun. A personal pronoun. So the psalmist is saying that this Lord whom I have just referenced has a special relation, or I have a special relation to him. There is a connection between him and me. And so what does he say here? He says he is my shepherd. Given those few things that we've said about who this Lord is, you would think and understand that it is a mighty, wonderful thing to have him as your shepherd. And in fact, the rivals ought to not even show up, but they do, because false gods are plenty. But this psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He has that personal relationship. And then it says, at the bottom of the chapter, or the end of the chapter, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the psalmist then has established that there is the Lord and that he has a connection to him, sheep-shepherd relationship. And because of that, there are benefits and results that will happen to him. And he talks about that. And so ultimately, in the end, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just take that simply to be something where we can see both a present and a future aspect to it. The present aspects for the psalmist being proper worship in the tabernacle. But ultimately, those who belong to the Lord will be with him forever. And that's the situation that we have here with that. So then let me just list a few of the things that the shepherd here, I mean the sheep here, says that the shepherd provides for him. These are good things. And if we understood, and as we do, some of the things about the history of Israel and some of David's personal history and some of the things that he went through, we can see why some of these particular aspects would be important. But I want you to take note of the pronoun he, of those references where it speaks about what God is doing. In verse number 2, he says, he makes me lie down. That's the same Lord. He leads me. Then beside the still waters, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And so he's doing all of this now is focusing upon the Lord. And that is a part of why I concluded that the first three words are the key to the psalm. Because it really is about the Lord and what he does and what he's doing in relation to the shepherd. And the shepherd is not seeking for self-exaltation or by any means to put himself in a position to say, I am somebody special, but my Lord is. And because he is, I get certain benefits. And so it's important here. So he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we might think about that in the idea of saying, no matter what circumstances happen, I shall fear no evil. Now, that's a good thing. You talk about comfort. To be in difficult circumstances and not fearing evil. Well, that doesn't just come naturally, to not have fear. Fear is what comes. But the sheep here speaks about the shepherd and what he does for him. And talks about his comfort, his staff and all that, preparing the table before his enemies, and that his cup runs over with all of that. And so those then bring up my next point. Because I would think that every reasonable person, if you ask them, would you like to have a relationship with a true God like this one that this psalmist has? I think most honest people will say, I would like that. I would like to be in that position. So that brings up the question then, what is required for a person to become a sheep of the great shepherd? What's necessary in order for that to happen? You know, one of the things that we find so amazing in Scripture is the way that God has provided his grace and his mercy, and that sin, as great as it is, as invasive as it is, as extensive as it is, God still makes provision, and he made provision for all those sinful people, all those sinners. We saw in John chapter 10, and that gives more detail about the sheep-shepherd connection. But in John chapter 10, we see there a reference to the shepherd and how the shepherd would do all that was necessary to protect the sheep. But we also notice in John 10 that it not only refers to a shepherd in the passage, it also talks about a hireling. So there's a shepherd and there's a hireling, and then there are various sheep. The sheep who belong to the shepherd, the good shepherd, it said that they hear his voice, they know him, and they follow him. Which implies that there are other sheep who don't belong to him. But the ones who do respond to him. So that's a critical important part. Because sometimes you might have someone who say they are a member of the sheepfold, or that they belong to the shepherd, but somehow don't seem to respond in a favorable way to the sheep, the shepherd of that fold. So I said, well, so what's necessary to have that connection to get it? Scripture talks about that in a lot of places in a lot of different ways. And when I'm trying to help someone understand what they need to do and how that works, I will often go to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we saw Nicodemus coming to Jesus, and Jesus told him that he needed to be born again. Nicodemus, being a teacher of the Jews, was in a position where it could be said of him, you ought to know what these things mean. You, as Jesus said to him, being a teacher of the Jews, you don't understand. Because what Nicodemus said was, can I enter back into my mother's womb and be born again a second time from birth from her? And so the problem is that he didn't understand what the Lord was talking about. That the physical birth is for once, but he still needed a second birth. And that birth is from above. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that there is, by faith, a way by which to come into eternal life, everlasting life. And it is until that person comes through that means, until then, they are not a sheep of the fold, as this shepherd that we see in Psalm 23. They don't belong to that same sheepfold. They're not members there. Or in Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what we're talking about here is an external versus an internal thing. As I said, that as far as that sheepfold, that you could see that just by the fact that some heard his voice and they followed him, that they apparently were others. But looking on casually, they would all look the same. So externally, things look the same. But internally, things are different. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. And that applies not just to the physical aspect of things, but for us, see, we really can't see into somebody's heart to know for sure what is in it. We do, though, however, observe what they exhibit by way of their conduct, and behavior, and patterns, and habits, and things they do. And on the basis of those things, we sometimes draw conclusions to say as to where we think that person is standing in their spiritual condition. Of course, God has none of those problems. He knows because he sees the heart, and he knows where the person is. But it is important to have people understand that this psalm is a psalm of comfort. And it has ability for application to all who have a sheep shepherd connection with the true God. Everybody who has that can enjoy this psalm to say, here are some things which are relevant to me and to my life. One of the things that I often will say to folks when I'm trying to share the word is that when we present these things and we say, this is what God says, and many people will brush it off and they don't have much concern about what you're telling them. But then, often I will bring up the issue of, sometimes I will say, how long are you going to live? And that'll get their attention. And then I will say, so then what's going to happen after that? And some people are not concerned about it. Or at least they present as if they are not. But I've had more people who are concerned about it than who are not. Well, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. So, a person then, in the sheep shepherd connection, they need to have it, and it needs to be real, because there's going to come a day when it's going to make the difference, a difference, whether they're connected correctly to the shepherd or not. And of course, now we understand, and I will say to folks, that there are only two judgments that you need to be concerned about. And I said, and you will appear at one of these. And sometimes I will say, at which one of these judgments would you choose, knowing you have to have one or the other? And I would say the judgments are the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Sometimes you say things to people in ways that you are hoping that they're going to, you catch their attention and they'll listen to what you're saying and say, well, what is he talking about here? And so some people will pick the great white throne judgment. And they say, well, that one sounds better to me. But we understand, and I will say to folks, every person who shows up at the great white throne judgment, that when that's done, they will be separated from God forever. And the horror of that place is beyond what we can imagine or think. The scriptures use certain terms to talk about it. The worm dieth not, and that kind of thing. And also uses that word hell in reference to that particular judgment. But the judgment seat of Christ is of a different character. And I will say that those who go to that judgment, every single one of them, when it is all said and done, they will be with the Lord forever. So the purposes of those judgments. But the issue here is that those who have the connection that the psalmist has with the shepherd. So every person that we see, ultimately, they're going to be in one of these two situations. And that is the most important issue they need to get straight. And many people don't give much thought to it. But the psalmist here is confident. And we also can have that same confidence as sheep who belong to a shepherd, to have that vital connection, to know him and to walk in his ways, to do the things that he wants us to do. So to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Would to God that we all could just know that that's our relation. The Lord is my shepherd. And so whatever happens, I'm secure And I'm safe just because. Just because he's my shepherd. I've said this here before, and some of you may remember that I said it. But I had a little niece. Her name was Robin. Who departed from this life when she was 10. Just 10 years old. And the first that I heard that she had a medical issue was that, well, were these words: we lost Robin. She was gone. So her mom called and asked if I would read something at her memorial service. Now, this was a long time ago. I still miss Robin, but it was 1988. I still miss her. And I chose something to read. And then her mother called me again, and she said, I have been going through Robin's Bible. And I see that she has highlighted in Psalm 23. And so I wonder if you would be willing to read Psalm 23 at her service. And, of course, I said, I would be delighted to do that. And she said, I want you to read it from her Bible. So that was special for her and for them. And I did that. That she had highlighted Psalm 23. I don't know if Robin had any thoughts that she had a problem in her body. But it was comforting to the family that she had that. And my wife had opportunity to speak with one of Robin's teachers. And she was in a Christian school. And the teacher said that Robin had a good testimony of faith in Christ, that it seemed clear to her that Robin really did belong to the Lord, and some of the prayer requests that she would give and things like that, and the way she conducted herself and all those. That connection, so then that means comfort for us, because for her, absent from the body would mean present with the Lord. But it's only because of the connection between the shepherd and the sheep. And without that, the ultimate result is too horrible to consider. So let me again just read through Psalm 23 here. And that's going to be all that I have for today. And next week we'll start on something else. I'm not exactly sure yet what I'm going to say next time. I have some things that I've been working on, and I'm not quite sure. But anyway, we'll be back next week, and the Lord will lead us as to what we should do. But Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we have read again and considered again these few words of your revelation to us, and we ask, Lord, that you will help us so that we will better understand what our relations are with you, and that what we do when we gather like this will not be spent in vain, but that it will be to the honor and the glory of the Almighty God, that you might, Lord, be pleased with us and with the things that we do. We ask in the precious name of Christ as Savior with thanks. Amen. Thank you all. I appreciate you sitting attentively, and we trust that there's some help and benefit in the things that we've said.